It's Thursday, and you know what that means. It's time to read from your email.
We start with some comments about Joseph Shapiro's story on people with autism. He talked with people who have the disease, but rather than pushing for a cure, they want to be accepted as they are. Here's Jim Sinclair, the organizer of an annual autism retreat.
What the rest of the world needs to know about autism is it's not something that can be separated out from the person. It's part of the person. And so you cannot meaningfully say, I love my child, but I hate the autism. That's like saying, I love my child, but I hate that she's a girl. I'd like her to be a boy instead.
Following the story, we heard from a number of people for whom the story hit home. Richard Baim of Seacliff, New York, writes, I find it wonderful that they want to be accepted as they are, and it's wonderful that they can express their desires in a coherent manner. But I think that my son would express, if he could, that he would want to be free of the disability that does not allow him to express his thoughts in such an articulate manner. He would also like to be able to wash himself, shave himself, and prepare a simple meal for himself. If that magical pill were invented tomorrow, we would be the first in line to take it.
But listener John Lloyd, who says he has Asperger's syndrome, a mild form of autism, writes that the stereotype of autistic people is that they are pathologically schematic, obsessed with rules and classifications, practically living by a flowchart, and a simple one at that. If you ask me, who are you? I might say, my name is John. That's true, but there is more to me than that. I'll mention neither my intelligence quotient nor my slugging percentage. I'm more than these as well.
My story on training medical interns to be better communicators brought some response. Jerry Paz of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin writes, It's great that new doctors are being reminded to listen to their patients. Heaven knows that seems like a no-brainer that needs to be put back into their training. But when are the powers that be going to recognize that requiring human beings to work 80 to 90-hour weeks, including multiple days without sleep, is completely counter to the concept of health and wellness? How can it be good for patients to have doctors who haven't slept for 2 days?
On our program last Friday, Jackie Lydon and John McChesney told about the death of an Iraqi translator, Yasser Salehi. He was killed by American forces. Here's his brother, Ayman Salehi.
When I saw the car and surrounded by, I think, two vehicles for Iraqi police, I just know that Yasser's gone. And everything changed in my mind, and I couldn't think. I think it's over for me because, you know, Yasser is everything for me. He's not just my brother.
William Campbell of Eugene, Oregon writes, As I stood weeping by my workbench, I could only feel sadness for the many lives affected by this one incident, one of hundreds, as we were told at the end. Thank you for giving us such an even-handed and honest look at one of the ugly, everyday facts of this war.
And finally, a few words about Michelle's story on thank you notes. She asked several people a single question. Is it okay to send a thank you note by email? Listener Deborah Kozlowski of Los Angeles defended the practice. She writes, I routinely compose important emails after sitting at my desk with no distractions, dedicating myself to the task. Using email has helped me be more succinct and expressive because I'm not worried about having to cross out things or write drafts and then recopy or have people comment on my notoriously bad handwriting. The trick is to put yourself in the reader's place to make sure the warmth and sincerity come through.
And whether you've got warm thanks for us or pointed criticism, we'd like to hear from you. Just go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.